Have you ever in this past year said these words? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? And then in asking yourself the question, you answered it just as the psalmist did, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the health of his countenance. You know, when it comes to looking at this new year, the rapture is likened to something that is going to be our strength through the year to come. The rapture is likened to hope. Now, hope is earnest expectation. When we have the hope of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means we have an earnest expectation to see him. Now, I'm sure for many of us, last New Year's Eve, we said, this is the year when the Lord's going to take us home. Well, we got about 20 minutes left to this year, and he may well do it. And what a joy that would be. But while we look in the time that remains, and we think of the year ahead, faith, hope, and love are three things that we need. But hope is something that we cling to, an earnest expectation. Said yesterday that Christ is our hope. You know, it doesn't do any good to have a hope in a peaceful settlement, because even if they made a peaceful settlement now, it's going to boil up later. And so it doesn't do any good to have a hope in our president. He's a man. Our one hope is in the Lord himself, and that is that he will usher us into his presence very soon. Of course, we no more than get that out of our mouth, and then we think of a lot of loved ones who we'd like to see one day standing there with us at the judgment seat of Christ. We'd like to know that they entered into eternity as well. You know, I thought of this evening and what we should say, and I remembered that Isaiah says, comfort ye my people. And as we look at a dark world, then our one comfort is going to be found in a hope that is in him. And so in Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, and 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. A blessed hope is a happy hope. And that is a hope that brings some blessing with it. And so if we're going to have spirits that are uplifted, then those spirits are going to have to be in tune to the Lord himself. And our hope is going to have to be in him. Our hope is going to have to be in his soon coming and his glorious appearing. Now, as we spoke of the rapture in the last few days, we spoke of what a joy it will be to see him, because that's our primary interest, is to see the lover of our soul. So I mentioned about the raising what I had said about we're going to know then and know people as well in the glory. Well, that's true. The primary one we want to know and see is the Lord himself. Now, there may be some of you here tonight who have what the Bible calls a hypocrite's hope. And Job likens that unto a spider spinning his web. And that spun out of his own belly. And there are a lot of people in his world today who think that they make their own hope. And that's what the New Age is pushing. Ye are gods. You're God. So you make your own life. Well, that's a lie, and that's the lie of the devil. And Job says that's a hypocrite's hope. Because as a spider spins his web, if he goes to rest in that and it's pushed a little too hard, it soon collapses. And so if you don't have a better hope than that, then God calls that a hypocrite's hope. And you're of all men most miserable. But you have a blessed hope of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus. And because we have that, then our eyes are fixed on the heavens. They're not fixed here. If the hope of his soon return, and our hope is Christ, then we're looking for him. We're looking for a person. We're looking for the man in the glory. Well, I'm glad for that. Because just as I told that little girl I mentioned to you, honey, we're going to look for a man. We're not going to look for some angel. He's going to be a glorified man. A man with a glory above all men, but he's a man with the marks of the Calvary. And he's going to bear them. And we're going to know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. My, what a blessed hope to know him in that way one day. But in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19, we read, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Oh, you know, when the law was presented to men, my, it made immediately all of them guilty. Israel said to Moses, whatever the Lord says, we will do. They didn't know what they were biting off, did they? No, but the Lord gave them something to show them their guilt. And Paul brings us to that in the book of Romans. That the law was given. That every mouth might be shut and all the world would be guilty before God. There was no hope in the law. There was no deliverance in the law. When you look at the religious law, the ceremonial law, it was always looking forward to another sacrifice and another sacrifice and another sacrifice. Ah, but when the ushering in of a better hope came, how is our Lord Jesus Christ? And now in Him, we got a far better hope. Ah, because it delivers us from the guilt and the penalty of sin. And He did that at Calvary. He set us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Isn't that wonderful tonight, beloved, that we don't have to look to a bunch of sacrifices that could never put away sin anyhow. But when the Lamb of God came, my, He bore away the sin of the world. Oh, that's a better hope. And as we look at the year past, that hope is what brought us to this very moment. Because it relieved us of the anxiety. It relieved us of the guilt. Of a son who's a psychologist. He said, Dad, it would be amazing at how many mental wards would be open and emptied if we could just assure people of $10,000 and give them that much assurance. They would have some confidence and leave. Ah, but that's only for a little while, isn't it? And then when it's gone, they're back where they started from. But my, what it makes a difference when we've got a mind that's fixed on Him. You know, Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. You know what that means? You know what a girdle is, don't you? That's something that binds it up. And Peter said, don't let your mind wander all over. It's a discipline of mind that brings us to the joy of the blessed hope and a better hope. Because our mind then is fixed on what His Word tells us and His promises offer us. A blessed hope and a better hope. But then he says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it's according to His abundant mercy. He's begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We got a lively hope now. See, our hope isn't like a Mohammedan. He looks like a man, he's a man who looks to Mecca, and he looks to Mohammed, and where is Mohammed? He's in a tomb. He's a dead man. Where is Buddha? He's in a tomb. He's a dead man. But where is our living hope? It was the angels that said, He's not here, He's risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. It was the angels that stood there and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. A living hope. The man in the glory. The man Christ Jesus. That's my hope. It's living. It's not dead. It's not worthless. It's a hope that lives. A hope that makes me blessed. A hope that makes me happy. A hope that I understand that's a far better hope than anything that the law could offer. It's a lively hope. Beloved, in the days we have ahead, will your eyes be fixed upon Him? You know, Paul, writing to us, teaching us something about fear. He says, the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a disciplined mind. You know, we're back to the mind again. And fear is something that controls, it becomes a slavish thing unless our mind is exercised and disciplined. I remember one time I got a little understanding of what fear can do to you. We were caught in a very violent thunderstorm outside of the city of New Orleans. This is a good number of years ago now. And you know, that airplane was like this, and we had it slowed down as much as we could so it would wallow like a duck in the water, you know. And we had the gear hanging out and the flaps were out just to try to stabilize it. Had the throttles pulled back. And you know, we finally had to pull the throttles all the way back. That airplane was going up like an elevator. The rate of climb was wrapped right over on the peg. We were about 8,000 feet when we went into that updraft. And that was the altitude we were assigned. And they came back in a little while calling, 566, 566, what's your altitude? I said, 13,500, we'll call you when we get down. That storm had taken that airplane that weighed 27,000 pounds, and it took it up like that. And you know, while I was doing that, and that airplane was every way from Sunday, what do you think I did? I looked down that companionway to see where I was going when it came apart. And immediately my mind says, you crazy? Fly this thing. How you see, if it wasn't for a mind that is disciplined through the training. And that's my point. I would have panicked and I wound up dead with a few other people. But because training brought the mind to a discipline, then instead of fear, discipline took over. And when it comes to the Word of God and our hope, in the year ahead, no matter how black it gets, our mind needs to be stayed upon Him. And we need to have that lively, living hope that He's risen. And because He's risen, He said, I will come again. And because of His promise, we have the full assurance of His coming. He lives, and because He lives, we shall live also. That's His word. That's His promise. But lastly, I'd like to leave this one with you. We have a glorious hope. Reread in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because Christ lives in us. There's that earnest expectation of glory then for each one of us. You know, while my brethren were giving their testimony, my mind went back to when I was 10 or 12 years old. Sitting in a little chapel, listening for a week of a man shaking me over the flames of hell. Having a little voice on my shoulder say, just take it easy, Ray. When you get out of here, you'll forget the whole thing. And every night I listened to that voice. Preacher used to stand by the door and did what he did to Brother Morgan, you know. Had you get saved yet? I didn't want to lie to him, so I ran him a race to the door, and I beat him every night. I'm sure he knew what I was doing, too. But the last night, the Lord never gave me a chance to run. Sitting right where I was, that man began to preach about the love of God. And being a boy who had spent the first 4 years of his life in a children's home, I wanted a father who loved me. I had a stepfather, and he faithfully raised me. But he didn't know Christ. And that night, I learned of the love of a father who would never leave. He loved me enough to give his son, and I thought that night, if he loved me that much, I can trust him. And you know, he stirred in me that night the hope of glory. I still have that hope. And during those past 60 years, things have gotten dark at times. Going through a war and affliction and the things that come with it and after it. But there's the hope of the glory. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within thee? And then the answer comes, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the health and the help of his countenance. Of his presence. How's your hope tonight? You know, God tells me that hope is something that gives me a full assurance. Hebrews 6:11. Hope is something that gives me rejoicing. Romans 5:3. Hope is something that gives me boldness. Romans 5:5. The hope of his coming produces in our lives holiness. And I'd like to, just in closing, go to that verse. It's in the book of the first epistle of John, chapter 3 and verse 3. Every man that has this hope in him, and I'll go back to the previous verse, so you get the hope. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Holiness. Remember earlier, I lose track, but at one of the meetings, I think it was at the breaking of bread service, there was a mention of holiness. And one of the brethren mentioned God's desire, be ye holy even as I am holy. Peter brings that to us in the first chapter of Peter, I think it's verse 13. What brings about that holiness? A hope does. A better hope. A living hope, a glorious hope, a hope of seeing him one day soon. There's a story told of a father who was going out of town. And he told his children, I want you to meet me at the railroad station. He said, I'll be there Wednesday, but if I don't get there Wednesday, I'll be there Thursday. If I don't make it Thursday, I'll be there Friday. So Wednesday, mother got the kids all cleaned up and they went to the railroad station. And they ran up and down the station looking for the train when it came in. No dad. So they went back home. Thursday night, they did the same thing. No dad. Friday night, they went out, did the same thing. And there comes dad out of one of the cars. And they ran up to him and they said, Dad, you said you were going to be here. And we were out here Wednesday night, and we came Thursday night, and we came tonight too. And Dad looked at him for a minute, and he said, well, it sure did keep you clean. Ah, beloved. An earnest expectation of the blessed hope of the soon return of Jesus Christ is going. But if we lose sight, and our mind wanders, from our goal.